just turn to your neighbor and say, God is good. God is good. Say, be at peace. He who has begun a good work in you is able to complete it. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to resist all the wiles of the wicked one. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. Hallelujah. You see, we are not fighting against flesh and blood. There are forces at work, and their plan is to just stifle the power of God, you know, stop the advancement of the kingdom of God. And unless the Spirit of God opens our eyes, we can't see them. You understand? And that is why the Bible says we must be strong. We must be strong. We must be strong. And walk in the light. Because when you walk in the light, the enemy will have nothing in you. But if the enemy has something in you, you're walking in darkness. And when you're walking in darkness, you're weak. You understand? Because when he comes and he's got something in you, you can't cast him out. And that is what he wants to do. He always wants to put something dark in us, you know. But we have to be strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the Jews are celebrating Purim today. Purim, and as I was driving down, I could see all the Jewish people in their hearts and in their celebration with a lot of traffic. But I think last night or so, as I looked at Exodus chapter, there's a scripture where God was reminding them not to forget to celebrate the day the Lord brought them out of Egypt. And that was the Nisan, the first month, the 14th of April. Or 14th of, well, according to the Jewish calendar. The first month they came out was called Nisan. And God told them on the 14th, you must celebrate. You understand? Celebrate the day the Lord brought you out of Egypt. And I say that to every believer, the day you were born again was when God took you out of Egypt. Amen. And it's a day of your celebration. Do you understand? It's a day of your real birthday. Your real birthday is the day you were born again. The day you gave your life to Christ is your real birthday. That is your real birthday. Hallelujah. So you see, when you look at Purim, as I was coming, I was reflecting on Purim. We read, you know, Esther chapter 3. In Esther chapter 3, we see a man by the name Haman. Haman took a dislike to the Jews. And he decided that not only was he going to penalize Mordecai for not bowing to him, but he was in fact going to kill all of the Jewish race. And the Bible says that they cast lot, and the word lot is pure in the Babylonian language, is pure. And so that's where they got the word Purim. So it's a day of casting lots. And what they do is that before they cast the lots, they will consult the realm of the spirit to find the day that is appropriate for the lot to be cast. And so you know what? They consulted the prognosticators and they said, listen, find us the appropriate day for which we can destroy all of the Jewish people in Babylon. Anti-Semitism didn't start now. Anti-Semitism started a long time ago. And one of their chief men was what? Was Haman. And you know, Haman, after he consulted the powers of darkness, they said to him, do you know the dates they chose? 13th of Nisan. That is the day before they celebrate the day God took them out. The devil is very wicked. You see, he knows when it's time for you to celebrate and be the person God wants you to be. And he will want to cut you short before your time of celebration. We're not fighting with flesh and blood. That is why, but for those of us who are born again, you see, we are redeemed by the blood. And the work of redemption is eternal, is everlasting. Redemption is very powerful. Hallelujah. And so you and I must hold on to our redemption in Christ Jesus. And the redemption of the Jews is what is powerful. When the enemy planned that this day we're going to take you out, 13th, the day before they celebrate, every time God is going to give you a breakthrough, there's an adversary. Every time a church is going to break through, there's an adversary. And that, you see, the devil doesn't care if God has set you free on a particular day. His plan is to stop you. Because he knows that if you shine, many people will shine.
If he knows that the ministry breaks out, many people will be delivered. If he knows that the church is full of joy, many will live here joyful. Hallelujah. And they'll go out and fulfill their mission. Do you know that if you are not joyful, you can't even focus? That is why you have to pray for your pastors. Because if their minds are not focused, and that is the plan of the enemy, we will destabilize this man or woman of God. So that this man or woman of God cannot preach. This man or woman of God cannot focus. This man or woman of God cannot deliver. And then the church is what? Broken. The church is myopic. Because if the pastor cannot think, if the pastor cannot pray, because the pastor is worried about the things that the enemy is sending, because there is warfare going on whether we like it or not. The devil doesn't care if the day God has delivered you is the 14th. He has planned that before you go into your celebration, he will cut you short. Which means you have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You have to be strong in faith. You must believe what God has said about you. Because the battle is not your battle. The battle is the Lord's. If you go to bed thinking about this thing, you'll wake up crippled. You can have the best word. You could have prayed all night. But if the enemy can rent space in your mind, you can't think. And the enemy can short circuit your ministry, because that is his assignment. You see, when a ministry is called, not only one person is blessed. Let me tell you, not only the pastor. No. When God called Moses, it got to a point, Moses said, God, I am tired. You know, all these millions of people, can I take care of them? Am I a mother? Am I a nursing mother? Because the people were murmuring. You know, sometimes we complain about little congregation. Do you know the congregation had it? And when they start complaining, Moses, why did you bring us out of here? We wanted, when we were in Egypt, it was better for us. We could have our garlic, and I've said to you all the smelly things. The garlic, the onions, the fish. We could sit by our flesh pot and eat as much as we like. Look at what you've done. And it gets to a point where they said to him, were there no graves in Egypt? That is why you've brought us here into the wilderness to kill us. And yet it was God who brought them out. And yet they saw the miraculous power of God. And yet they saw the economy of Egypt rendered, you know, ineffective, bankrupt in their sight. They saw it all. But you see, when they were under pressure, they began to take it on what? On Moses. That is why they said, for you as a pastor, you must have the skin of a rhinoceros. Hallelujah. You've got to be tough. Because you see, if you're not tough, everybody will want to walk over you. And usually it's not the people. The enemy is the one who's rented space. And his plan is that if I can have space in this one and work through this one, that's it. That's why the pastor, he must be full of joy against all the odds. Hallelujah. You must be full of joy, enthusiasm. The joy of the Lord must be your strength. Listen, the battle is not your battle. You want to take the enemy on? No, that is not your battle. The Bible says you be strong in the Lord. That is it. David prayed a prayer. He said, God, all I want you to do is to preserve me from going bankrupt or sinning. Because I know when I sin, the enemy will have an entrance into me. That was his prayer. His prayer was not that give me the strength to go and fight my enemies. His prayer was that, Lord, keep me in tune with you. Cause me to walk right. Because so long as I'm walking right, the enemy would have no entrance into my life. The enemy has an entrance. The way there is sin in your life, that's what he does. That is why a believer, you have to be strong by making sure that you've closed all the gaps. By making sure that your integrity is at, you know, it's not at stake. You must pray. Because when you are weak, that is when the enemy rises and makes sure that you make all the messes, the mistakes that you never thought you would ever do. So if there is any prayer you must pray that God keep me strong in you, obeying you, doing what is right, walking in the right path. Deliver me from temptation. Deliver me from sin. Jesus said something. He said the enemy has come, but he has no part in me. If he has a part in me, then he can stop my mission. But if the devil has no part in me, he cannot stop my mission. And that's why sometimes you see some pastors falling. They are falling because people are praying them down. Oh, do you think I'm joking? They are praying them down. Lord, let this pastor fail. Let their work, their children. Oh, you think I'm joking? No. What we're reading about, even Esther, doesn't it tell you? God has given them deliverance. On the 14th day, he said, that is the day you're going to celebrate. The 13th, Satan said the 13th, I will cut these people short before they get into the 14th. But I'm here to declare that as Israel entered into her 14th, and Haman in the end became a victim, you will make it in the mighty name of Jesus. And not only that, I speak peace over you. I speak peace over you. I speak the peace of God over you. I speak the light of God into you. The battle is never your battle. The battle is the Lord's battle. Listen, you can be at the back. God can bring you to the front. You don't need to fight. Hallelujah. You don't need to be the one that the enemy can have a way in and steal your joy. I'm here to declare the joy of the Lord is your strength. You lift up your head. Hallelujah. You will lift up your head and you will go forward. You lift up your head, the Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. Don't try taking the devil on. He's been in this business for a long time. When you try fighting, in fact, what you do is you invite the nature of God, the devil into you. You know, when you become angry, you become bitter, like we read in James chapter 3. Let me read that and then we'll come back to our story in Esther. James chapter 3, we read from the verse 13. Freedom is yours in Jesus' name. Deliverance is ours in the mighty name of Jesus. The peace of God is ours. Hallelujah. The enemy will not succeed. Your destiny is great. And he wants to always make you feel miserable. That is not your portion. God has set you free. Walk in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. And he will fight for you. Hallelujah. He will promote you. Hallelujah. He'll move you from the back to the front. He will help you when everybody said it's finished. It's finished. No, it's finished. Hallelujah. When God calls a shepherd, one of the things I've noticed is that the hearts of shepherds are very tender because God gives them that heart. It's not because they can't fight. You understand? God gives them that heart. Tender heart, because he's the chief shepherd who carries the babes in his bosom there. Hallelujah. And we are here to fight to win. But we fight a good fight. Hallelujah. The good fight of walking in the light. Of walking in the ways of God. No, no, no. Not the adversary's will. If you borrow his way, you will forever be like that. He will steal your joy. He will steal your mind. He will steal your ministry. He will steal everything. Don't you know what Jesus said? The manifesto of the enemy is what? He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Just rely on the Lord. Hallelujah. Your portion is great. Nobody can take your portion from you. From the foundation of the world, he loves us all. He ordained what everybody would become. He cut out an inheritance. Even, you know, Psalm 68, he says, even the rebellious, a portion has been given to the rebellious. How much more those of you giving your life to Christ? That is the mercy of God. Don't let the enemy steal your joy. Don't let him steal your peace. When God is making a way for you, receive it. Don't go the adversary's way. It will complicate things. It will limit what God wants to do. Because God has heard our prayers. The battle is not your battle. Hallelujah. The battle is the Lord's. James 3:13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge amongst you? That's what he's asking us. Are you wise? He says, who is the wise person? Oh, we all need wisdom. Every day we need wisdom. Amen. Every day I need wisdom for my life. The beauty is that when you make a mistake, you don't stay there. You pick yourself up and you get going. We miss it every now and then. We make some horrible mistakes. And then afterwards, the Holy Spirit will open your eyes. Ah, why did I make this mistake? And you abhor yourself and then you begin to lament. We all make mistakes. But we don't stay in our mistakes. Do you understand? When the Holy Spirit convicts us, we pick ourselves up and we go forward. Hallelujah. So he says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge amongst you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Meekness, amen? Meekness is defined as what? As power under control. The Bible says that Moses was a very meek man. He was a meek man because he had the power to do certain things, but he didn't do them. Do you know they have the power to destroy, but you don't destroy? You have the powers to cast out, but you don't cast out. You have the power to put a stop to something. But you say, God, you have your way. The Bible described Moses as the meekest man on earth. And that's why God so cherished him. He was so meek. One day he found himself, you know, with an Ethiopian woman, and his sister, Miriam, big sister and big brother, came against him. How dare you marry an Ethiopian woman? And they spoke to Moses badly. And, you know, he didn't use his position as a prophet, as a leader of Israel, to curse his brothers. When they did that to Moses, in fact, God took Moses' battle on. Do you know what God did? God called, he said, Moses, call these people for me. Call Miriam and Aaron. And they came before the tabernacle. And the Bible says the presence of God came down. And God said to them, listen, if there's a prophet amongst you, I, the Lord, will speak to the person face to face. There's nobody like Moses here. He's a man that I speak to him face to face. In other words, I don't give him pictures. I tell him exactly. I talk to him mouth to mouth. He hears me. Were you not afraid to talk your brother down? To talk your leader down? He is the youngest in the family, because Moses was the baby of the family. Remember when he was taken to Pharaoh? It was Miriam, the big sister, who came and said, oh, can I find a nest for you? So Moses was the youngest. And Aaron and Miriam said, no, how dare you take an Ethiopian woman, talking him down? God said, no, I'll take his battle on. Let God take your battle on. Hallelujah. When God fights for you, you see, the enemy cannot do anything. Let God fight for you. I said, let God fight for you, so that you maintain your peace and your joy. The Bible says that when Miriam spoke, leprosy came upon Miriam. And you know, if Moses was not a brother with a heart of gold, say, God, give me a heart of gold. Say, God, give me a heart of gold. God, give me a heart of gold. Give me the heart of David. Give me the heart of Moses. He went to God and said, God, forgive her. Lord, don't leave her like someone who came out of the womb dead. Like someone who was born stillbirth. Was pleading with God. God said, Moses, stand aside. If she insults her father, do you know what her father will do? Her father will spit in her face. You have to be in the background for a long time. Let me deal with this one. Let God fight your battles for you. Hallelujah. And God said, you know what? She's going to be in the camp. For about 7 days, the people could not move, because God was taking them to the promised land. But you know what? Miriam's behavior meant that. God said, I will make sure that you are delayed. 7 days they were held back, because somebody spoke against God's leader. And God said, enough is enough. Stay and let's suffer this leprosy. And when you are cured, then the whole camp can move forward. May God help us. Hallelujah. Give us a heart of gold. Let not the enemy deceive us. If God is for you, who can be against you? If God is for you, who can be against you? God is the one who thought about you before you came out of your mother's womb and cut you out a good portion. Your portion is secure in God. Just walk right with the Lord. At the right time, God will move you from the back, do you understand? And put you at the front. In the meantime, God will give you good shepherds. Shepherds who are tender towards you. Even though sometimes we are hard, God will give us tender people to show you that God is favoring you. Oh, church, am I talking to you? So he's asking us a question. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation in his work with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, this particular wisdom, yeah? The wisdom of bitterness, the wisdom of strife. I'm angry. I have the right to be angry. But God says that it goes nowhere in his kingdom. No, it goes nowhere. He hung on the cross. We all have to get there. It's a journey. For some of us, it takes us very You know, I used to say to myself, I forget and I forgive very easily. And the next time I've forgotten that the person, somebody offended me, and I'm talking to the person like nothing happened. And I used to think of it as a weakness, but it's a strength. Because if you forget easily, do you understand? It's a good thing for you. Because if you don't, for some, you can go for 1 month, for 2 months, for 3 months, for years. And the enemy, oh, don't look at anybody, look at yourself. I caught a few glimpses, hallelujah. Glances, I should say. Look at yourself, don't look at anybody. And there are times that, you know, the enemy will entice us to go back that way. Go that way, go that way, go that way. Because it feels good to bear a grudge. You must know that I'm angry. It feels good to bear a grudge. I want to carry it. And if I have the opportunity, vent out. Like a kettle. That is boiling. She must know I'm angry. He must know I'm angry. But it doesn't go very far. Hallelujah. In the kingdom of God. Do you do that? We all do, don't we? Oh, please, come on. Don't carry on like you've never been angry before. Ah, we all do, don't we? The other time somebody was remarking, oh, this person, when she was in the church, the way she was tricked, the way she was, you couldn't get past her. I said, well, but now they are rejoicing in the life of the person. Hallelujah. This is what God can do. Amen. Because the enemy wants to steal our joy. He wants to steal our peace. I say to God, well, God, what do I have? It's not my prayer. It's not, no, the prayer is not yours. It's God. If God doesn't even give you strength to pray, you can't pray. The word is not mine. Lord is yours. Do you know who I have? You are the only one I have. You are the only one I have. And so then I resign to the Lord like a child. Sometimes we'll be weaned. You know, we're like a child who's been weaned. A child who's been weaned is like they're taking your breast from you. And all you go is sulking, 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 sulking until you get to a place where you are, you know, strong. But what I'm saying to you is, James is telling us something. He said this kind of wisdom, yeah, is earthly. If you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not or don't rejoice and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. You know, sometimes we think we are so right, we are fuming, and we think the fume is from heaven. No, this is what he's telling us. If we break, he said, this wisdom does not descend from above. Oh. It means it's the wisdom of man. I am justified. He has to know that he didn't act right. And you carry on for a long time. You know, the Bible says that, you are not, it doesn't say that you can't get angry. You can get angry, but drop the anger. Hallelujah. Because if you don't, it becomes a spirit that controls you. And the Bible says that a man often reproved and doesn't listen, one day said the neck will be broken. Because then it becomes stubbornness. You see, when you see people, sometimes when they're doing deliverance for people and they are screaming and they are crying, many times it's not because they are devils. No. It's because sometimes a door was opened through maybe somebody heard them. And when they heard them, they couldn't let go of the anger. The devil is always looking for an open door. So when I see people, you know, sometimes people are being delivered and they're praying. Other people are moving away and it's like, that person is a devil. No, sometimes they've gone through some sort of abuse. And the enemy always capitalizes on our weaknesses. A door then is open. And when the door is open, then the enemy comes in. So now the spirit of anger begins to manifest in the person. Have you seen people being delivered? And you see anger, they are angry. You can't even hold them back. Sometimes get about 3 or 4 people to hold these people. Because a spirit has taken over when the door was open. And so this person has become a victim twice. Do you understand? They were victimized once by somebody offending them and not letting the offense go. And what happens? The enemy now steps in and then he makes them a victim twice. And so God is teaching us. He said this wisdom is not from above, but it's earthly, it is sensual, it is devilish. So it's your flesh reacting. It's your flesh reacting. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and there is every evil work. Oh, did you hear that? The Bible says when we are envying one another. Today she has a nice hat. Your problem is that you have a shoe, but my shoe is maybe 2 inches longer than yours. That becomes an issue. That's an issue with us women, you know. Men don't have that problem. You know that? Men, they just go and they are happy. Women, they have to look at your hair. What did she wear today? What shoe did she wear? What dress did she wear? And it becomes an issue. Hallelujah. Amen. That is not your portion. That is not your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Because the Bible says, where is strife? Envying. There is every evil work. No, when we do that, it means Satan is very happy. When the Satan comes into a church, his main agenda is to divide the church. Mm-hmm. So if he can get anyone who would open up and he can use the person, you can pray in tongues as much as you like. The tongues is God using it to help us. It's a prayer language to help us, to bring us to the next level in him. You can do, you know, great things in the spirit, but if that thing is not dealt with, it becomes a hindrance. So we must check ourselves. Amen. We must check ourselves. It does not descend from above. Where there is strife and envying, there's what? Confusion. Confusion. Because you see some behaviors, some attitudes, that some things that we are doing, they're encouraging confusion. And the Bible says if it's like that, every evil work, the church cannot be what God wants it to be. But God wants us to heal. God wants us to forgive one another. Thank you.